I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000s to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow, he's my comfort. In trouble, he's my stay. He tells me everything on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000s to my soul. He will all my griefs forsaken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempts me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000s to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna, he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, I'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000s to my soul.
This is chapter 4. And I hope that you've been praying for me, because I've only been married once and don't plan on getting married again. So I have to use my wife as an illustration in this sermon. And that can be kind of dangerous sometimes, can it? But women, or anybody for that matter. You know, it is hard to understand who aren't saved. It takes a lot of time to know what the title is and about their idol that will help understand them. But hopefully, she doesn't have any major idols that I know of. But she is unique. Everybody's unique. It's a process where Peter says that husbands ought to dwell with their wives in an understanding way. It's a goal. It's a command for us to dwell with our wives in an understanding way. And the most frequent complaint that I get from ladies is that my husband doesn't talk to me enough. Okay? And so we're going to talk a little bit tonight about that in particular, because I think that many husbands are failing to understand that they need to talk to their wives and they need to understand them, and it's part of their nature to want to be understood, even if they don't understand themselves sometimes, okay? And so a woman wants you to understand them, and so it is a command for us to do this. The reason I like to use this passage is because of chapter 4, verses 25 through 32, but also because in chapter 5, we see here more about wives and husbands, and it says, wives, verse 22, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. referring not just to the act of submitting, but the attitude in submitting as well. But I like to remind the men that you don't perfectly submit to the Lord with your acts or with your attitude as well. So for a husband to demand perfect submission from his wife is very hypocritical, wouldn't you say? So, however, it is the goal, it should be the goal of the wife to submit with both with her actions and with a good attitude. Having said that, we struggle in marriage, and everybody struggles, talking about the church, everybody struggles, to have this role in these roles and this relationship reflect Christ and His church, which is the next point in the text. So let's talk about primarily about communication, and look at these verses beginning in verse 25. I'm going to give you four C's here. Okay, that will help you to communicate more effectively with your spouse and to understand your wife better. Let's look at the first one here in verse 25. It says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor." Notice this, "for we are members one of another." This was written to church people, but certainly the husband-wife should have the closest, as brother and sister in Christ, relationship in any church. We are to treat younger ladies in the church as daughters or as sisters, and older ladies as mothers. But this principle is true for marriage as well. Speak truth with your spouse. And so many times the relationship is hurt because the trust has been damaged by one party. Not being forthright, not being honest, hiding things from the other. And one thing I like about my wife is, you know, she just tells you what she thinks. And, you know, I never dated a lot of girls, but the ones I did date, they didn't like me, some of them, because I told them what I thought, you know. And I know that you have to be gentle with the truth. But let's face it, the truth forms the basis of any relationship based on trust. Truth does. And so Jessica, you know, I just told her what I thought, and she took it, and she told me what she thought, and we didn't play these romantic games where you hide stuff and you know, find all these special occasions for this, and all that's fine to do that. But both of us are very forthright, very, very extroverted people. Now, saying that, not everybody is extroverted, okay? So if you're married to somebody who's an introvert, you have to get the truth out of them, all right? And what I want to bring up here is that not that introverts don't believe in truth, they do, but introverts are less ready to give you all the truth because they are trying to be maybe gentle or they're trying to pray about it. And so if you're married to an introvert or you're married to an extrovert, I would say that you need to pray for the extrovert that he would, or she would, speak the truth how? In love, right? And that's what extroverts have to work on, speaking the truth in love, being gentle. Sometimes Jessica and I, you'd think we're arguing and we're just debating something, you know, but we're both extroverts, okay? But introverts have a problem sometimes where they won't tell you what they're thinking. So how do you know what they're thinking if you're married to one? Well, how you know is by spending time with them. And if you spend enough time with an introvert, eventually they will tell you what they're thinking. And I have to use this principle when I make visits on people, because some people don't want the pastor coming to their home and just asking them why they haven't been in church. Okay? And if they're an introvert, I'll have to do this. I'll have to just go and talk to them and talk about whatever they like talking about. And if I show up at their house and I ask them, you know, in the first 10 minutes, why haven't you been at church? They'll feel like I'm being too bossy with them, okay? And so, why? Because they're introverts. That's the way that they are. And this is a personality issue that you have to think about in your marriage. Don't judge the other person. Don't judge them and say, well, they're just not being truthful, when in fact they might want to be truthful, but maybe they prayed about it, or they're praying about it, or they don't fully comprehend it or know how to put it. They might not be as good with words as you are. Extroverts are usually pretty good with words. Okay, introverts aren't. Their thoughts can get jumbled up and they can get embarrassed. They don't know how to put things. So we have to be careful when we're talking to our wife that we try to understand them and their personality. God's given us all a unique personality. And when people don't seek to understand the other person and rather they judge them, then that communication gets broken down. That communication gets broken down. God wants that communication to be there and to flow and to be correct. So we have to start with truth, and we have to, if we're an extrovert, be gentle with the truth. And if we're an introvert, we have to make sure that we tell the other person what we're thinking and not hold grudges and hold stuff in, which is oftentimes one of the weaknesses of an introvert. They can hold stuff in where they don't need to. And that relationship gets broken down. All right. And I thank the Lord for introverts, by the way. Could you imagine if everybody in the world was an extrovert? We'd have World War III, you know. We would. We'd have World War III. Everybody'd be yelling at each other. Nobody'd be getting anything done, probably. Because most people aren't saved, are they? Everybody'd be bossing each other around all the time. Let's look at this second one here, okay. Be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. One of the ways that you need to understand your wife or women or anybody for that matter is that we need to be current with the issues that arise that cause stress in our relationship. Now let me give you an example of that. One of the issues that causes stress that people sometimes sweep under the carpet, they go to bed angry, they don't get it resolved. One of those issues is finances, okay, in marriage especially. And if people don't talk about their finances, eventually, okay, the bank's going to repossess something or something bad's going to happen, all right? It's just going to go from bad to worse. If they don't bring it out, deal with it, find out what the problem is, they didn't communicate. When my wife and I were first married, we had a rule that we don't spend any money unless we talk about it, each other about it, unless it is under $50, okay? Now, we've been able, by the grace of God and hard work, to raise that to 100, okay? But you have to have some kind of policy in your relationship to where when stress happens, and stress is going to happen, I mean, that's just life. It might not be finances. It might be the loss of a child or something. You have got to work these things out and stay current in your relationship about how you feel about things. Again, that requires spending time one with another. When I sold Bibles one summer trying to earn my way through college, we had a guy that sold the most Bibles, and he was from India, all right? And they said, how did you do it? Because, you know, there's this stereotype in the South that they're racist. And Thomas Nelson doesn't even send people up north, okay? Because they've tried that, and most of them won't even let them in their house. But the guy, he's from India, and he's saying, smile. How'd you do it? Smile. Smile. And he had that calming effect on people that he smiled and it made people relax. You know, and when someone's angry, you can just read it on their face. When someone's angry, they don't smile. They're not pleasant. And if you come up to a person like that and you don't know them, do you think you're going to want to communicate with them? No, you're not going to want to communicate with them. And folks, this happens in marriage, and it happens all the time, especially if you communicate with women, because women have an uncanny ability to pick up on people's emotions, okay, and their facial expressions and their emotions. Some men can do that, can't they? And so if you're holding a grudge and you're not communicating and you're not dealing with the issues in your marriage, you need to get that turned around. You need to get that issue resolved, because God wants us to be current in our relationship with people. And you can't, that doesn't mean you can't talk about every single thing that goes on in their lives. But it's good, those major things that are bothering them, to try to figure that out and try to work that out. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Notice this next one here, as we continue to read how to understand your wife or women or whatever. Number one, be clear and try to be gentle if you're an extrovert. Number two, be current and try to deal with issues. And if you don't know there's an issue, you can't deal with it. So there's a lot of guys that say, well, my wife never tells me she's upset, and then she explodes. Well, that's part of the wife's fault, isn't it? If she's not telling the man, because some men are very dense and they're watching sports all the time, and so they don't know you have a problem if you don't tell them, and then you blow up at them. I don't think that's their fault. I mean, if you're holding a grudge and you just let it build up and you have a problem, you need to say, we need to talk about this. And that would be the wife's fault if she had a problem and she didn't talk to her husband about it. But notice here, this third one here, neither give place to the devil. He's talking here about how the devil works through people holding grudges. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may give to him that hath needest. This is just talking about our attitude and being a giver in the relationship and not a taker. But notice verse 29. And here you have the concept of being constructive with your speech. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Very few women have the ability to endure criticism on a frequent basis. Very few women have that ability. And very few men have that ability as well. Okay? Hillary Clinton has that ability. I don't know how in the world she stayed married to Bill Clinton. I mean, seriously, I don't know if she's got something messed up in her brain. But you've got a right to divorce somebody that cheats on you 100 times, right? But she hasn't. Okay? But most people cannot endure that kind of negativity in their lives. I mean, that's very rare, isn't it? And maybe he's only cheated on her 50 times. I don't want to misconstrue the guy. But let no corrupt communication. So I always tell people, for every negative statement you make, try to make 3 positive ones. Okay? You know, thank you for the food. You know, you look nice. You're so smart. I'm glad I married you. And instead of saying to them, you know, why did you burn the toast? You know, why were you late? Can't you ever be on time? And if you're not careful, you'll drive them away from wanting to spend time with you. And this works both ways, doesn't it? If a woman's constantly nagging her husband, Proverbs says it's like having a continual drip and never being able to do anything about it. The book of Proverbs says a nagging wife is like a continual drip. But it's very important that we understand that nobody wants to be constantly torn down. And God doesn't do that to us either. When we read our Bible, if we're saved, the Spirit of God will convict us. He will criticize us. And that's important. But more than that, when we read our Bible, God, the Holy Spirit, will build us up. And He will encourage us. And He will remind us that He loves us and that He accepts us. And so it's very important that you understand that your wife should be handled with care. She's fragile, emotionally fragile. And God didn't design most women to be able to take as much criticism as men can handle. All right? Like I say, there's exceptions to that, and there's some guys that are weaker in that area than the wives are. Some men are weaker in that area than their husbands are. Their wives. Sounds like she's a lesbian, doesn't it? But But some men can't handle any kind of criticism, and their wives tough as nails. That's what I'm trying to say. But in a marriage, it needs to be such, in a relationship, that people understand that you are going to build them up, and so they're not constantly criticized and torn down when you're around them. And that's very, very important. And I would just say, if you have had a problem in your past in this area, take a pencil, take a little pad, put it in your pocket, and you jot down how many comments, make a mark, how many comments you speak that are positive and how many comments that are negative. This is one of the main problems that I find happens in culture, and then people learn that culture, and they take that and try to live a Christian life, and because of that, their prayers aren't being answered from the Lord. And then we see the last one here. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with you from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another. Notice this, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So here you have this last C, being considerate or being kind, being considerate and tenderhearted, compassionate to each other. Now, I've talked a little bit about the different personalities that people have to deal with, okay? Introvert, extrovert is one. But there are three other basic personalities issues in the human psyche, at least three. One of those is thinking and feeling. Some people are more thinking-oriented, and some people are more feeling-oriented. And this verse is teaching us that we have to be somewhat feeling-oriented. This concept of being tender-hearted is where you empathize with people. And if somebody can't empathize with other people, there's something spiritually wrong with them. If they can't have compassion on somebody and they can't feel somebody's needs and hurts and wounds, there's something spiritually wrong with them, because you know that's what took Christ to the cross for us. He looked down from heaven and he knew that we needed help. And he didn't just stay up in heaven and send us all to hell. He came down to earth and he took his time and he cared and he was moved with compassion. Jesus was, when he saw the people like they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so if you're not feeling oriented, you need to develop this in your life. You need to think, you know what, I need to empathize with my spouse rather than criticize my spouse or try to correct my spouse and try to change my spouse. There's a C that will doom your marriage or your relationship. You can't change your spouse. Only God can change your spouse. So many times when people have friction, it's because they're trying to change each other, and only God can change people. You can pray about it, and they'll change if you pray about it. Okay? Might take them 15, 20 years, though. Okay? But you can't change people. And the Bible commands us to be feeling-oriented. And I know this doesn't preach real well in our culture, because our culture is so intellectually oriented. You know? But the Bible does teach that we need to have a feeling and develop a feeling side. Why am I preaching on this? Because I find sometimes, not always, that the women are more tender-hearted than the men are. And they have a more compassionate side to them than the men do. Not always. I'm saying there's some men that are more tender-hearted than their wives are. And more caring than their wives are. Right? My father-in-law, he'll watch a movie and he'll cry like a baby. And my mother-in-law sit over there and just laugh at him. You know? So there's exceptions. Don't sit, go home and say, Pastor said men aren't caring. No. No, I'm just saying that in general, I see this thing that men need to develop this side of their life so that they can understand their spouse. That it's good for them to be tenderhearted. Jesus was tenderhearted and feeling oriented. So if you're married to somebody, and sometimes you'll see a couple that both are more feeling than they are thinking. In a marriage, you'll have a couple that's more feeling-oriented than they are thinking-oriented, both of them. These tend to be the artistic type, the creative type, Okay? And sometimes they get married and they're both feeling oriented. So they're not going to have a problem in that area of their marriage because they understand each other. But usually when people get married, one is a thinker and one is a feeler. With my wife and I'm kind of in the middle. She's more of a thinker than a feeler. Okay? What I have to do is I have to pray about this and I have to say, God, help me to understand her personality and not judge her. Okay? I had a bad day and I need to pray that she will try to just empathize with me and not correct me all the time. That's where we can't judge each other. And when we start judging people, what we do is we start trying to say, your personality needs to be just like what? Just like mine. And you know what? We're all different, aren't we? We shouldn't judge each other. We need to think about this. Who am I married to? What's their personality? Are they a thinker or are they a feeler? Are they extroverted or are they introverted? Because I want to communicate with them. I don't want to judge them. All right? Now, there's another aspect to the human personality that I'll give you a Bible verse. It's not in this passage. There are people that are black and white, orderly people, okay? And then there are people who what we call perceptive type people. And that means that in their personality, they don't see black and whites as much. They see some black and whites, but they see more gray areas. Okay? And these verses are found in throughout the Bible. But 1 Corinthians especially says, let everything be done decent and in order. We were talking to a couple about this recently, that they said in my house, everything has a place, and there's a place for everything. And the spouse wasn't that way. But you need to understand, if you're a black and white person, that everything has a place in your house, and in your house everything has a place, and there's a place for everything. You might be married to somebody that is what we call perceptive, where they are constantly trying to see the good things and the love issues, and they're constantly trying to think about people, maybe more than they're thinking about things, which is a personality issue. And so don't judge them and say they're just messy. Maybe in their mind, there's a whole different realm of getting things in order that has to do with their relationships with people. And maybe they're focused on that. And maybe in their mind, that's more important, their relationships, than the house being orderly. Isn't that what we see with Mary and Martha? And Jesus said to Martha, you should be more like Mary. Okay? And so let's try not to judge. Let's try to think about, maybe I'm married to somebody with a completely different personality than what I have. And let's communicate clearly, compassionately, constructively, as we see here, and let's stay current in our relationships. And I think that if we try to put ourselves in the other person's shoes instead of our own, then we'll have a better relationship with our wife. I'm not saying I fully understand Jessica, but this is how I can start to understand Jessica. And this should be something that I seek to do the rest of my life, is to dwell with her in an understanding way. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what Scripture says about personalities, about communication. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you had compassion upon us, that you do care. Lord, you're not just an intellect in heaven, but that you are touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We thank you for that, Lord. Pray and ask that we would seek to dwell with our wives in an understanding way and not judge them, as we should do that with all people, Lord. Help us to spend time as men communicating with our spouse, talking to them, and to make time for that. Pray and ask, Lord, that you'd be with their invitation this time. As their heads are bowed, as their eyes are closed, if there's someone here today that would say, Lord, I needed this message. Help me in my marriage. Help me in my trying to understand my parents even and their personality, or my children and their personality, that they're different, Lord, and not to judge them. Maybe you needed to hear this tonight. You say, Lord, help me to try to understand them. And not try to change them, but just try to understand them and pray for them. Does that be you tonight? Would you ask the Lord to help you in that area so that you can have good communication and have Christ at the center in that relationship? I hope that you'll pray that prayer as I do and need to more often. Lord, help me to understand my loved ones better. And Lord, we'll give you the glory. For Jesus' sake, in his name we pray, amen.